And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I want to thank everyone who has cheerfully supported financially this ministry. I know recently I told you the truth. The facts of the matter are that financially we're all struggling. I know that Biden and the idiots in Congress, both sides of the aisle, decimated the economy, and we're all struggling. But those of you that have been able to help Sandra and I want to thank you for your continued support. And Sandra and I were talking about this, the other day, and reminiscing on the fact that Tex had said that so many ministries closed not long after the pastor that started the ministry had retired or passed away. And Sandra looked at me with a big smile and said, "We've made it 8 years." Yes, we have. And it's thanks to you, dear friends, and your continued financial support that we're able to come on the air every week. We're able to send out our newsletter each month, both digitally and physically send you the newsletter. If you are not getting the newsletter and you would like to get back on the mailing list, you can email me at prophecy@texmars.com. prophecy@texmars.com. Give me your name and your address, and I'll send you a couple months worth to give you an idea of the new items that we are offering here at the ministry and see if it will pique your interest to get back on our mailing list. All we ask is you buy a book, video, couple CDs, something to help us offset the cost of the printing and the postage to send you the monthly newsletter. If you just want to be on the email list, you can give me your email address in that email. Now, if you were getting the email and you asked to unsubscribe, my email server will not allow that email address to rejoin. But if you have a new email address, you can send it to me and I'll add you to our email list. Okay. Now, I want to get into this week's program. We're going to discuss secrets. We're up to volume number 352. And if you watched the Grammys recently, and judging by the number of people that watched it, what the ratings, I guess you would say, not many of you, if any at all, I know I didn't. I have no desire to watch these self-aggrandizing entertainers spew their diatribe, but they all hate Trump. They all claim that illegal aliens are not illegal, even though technically they are. It may be a misdemeanor to come into this country illegally, but if you are deported and come back, that's a felony. So Billie Eilish, she is a singer. I'm not a fan, but some people are. Hey, to each their own. She got up there to receive a Grammy Award. And, well, she said some idiotic things, which these entertainers are wont to do because at heart they're insecure. They need to be in the cool kids club. They want to sit at the cool kids table and they don't want to be cast away. So she said something pretty stupid. She claimed that there are no illegals on stolen land. I think that was pretty much what she said. Well, in today's landscape, there is an eviction firm, the Sinai Law Firm in Los Angeles. They decided to go ahead and push the envelope. And after Miss Eilish said her say at the Grammy Awards show about stolen land, they have offered to remove her from her multi-million-dollar home on a pro bono basis for the Tongva tribe. The Tongva tribe claims that their ancestral lands are there in L.A., in the basin. And the firm says Eilish's own words undercut her position and invite legal scrutiny. In a public statement, Sinai Law Firm said, quote, Sinai Law Firm is offering to evict Billie Eilish from her Los Angeles home on a pro bono basis on behalf of the Tongva tribe. Eilish's admission that she lives on stolen land gives the tribe a rightful action for possession as the true owner of the property. The 30-day notice is already written and ready to be served. Boom. Mic drop. You know, critics and naysayers were quick to jump on this this social justice narrative that Eilish spewed. And they said the contrast between these slogans and personal stakes have a marked contrast. This episode highlights a recurring pattern where celebrity talking points to demand sacrifice from everyone else whilst they carefully avoid any personal cost. Now, Eilish is under no legal obligation to surrender her home, but when celebrities decide to frame politics in absolutes, the public will tend to test them, as they should. So, major trolling by the law firm. I think the sad thing is, the irony is lost on these people. Adam Carolla, he's a comedian. He's been on talk shows. He lost his home in the Palisades fire. And he talked about, on his podcast, what was going to happen. I think I even played a clip from Adam. He was in his hotel room when he did this podcast. Well, recently on his podcast, he talked about the woke mind virus that these entertainers have, and he explains why they say the garbage that they say.
If those people started saying, we support Trump, guess who's out? And if you support ICE, you're out. And if you're not down with Black Lives Matter, out. And you're not wanting to free Palestine, you're out. So it's all out. So they understand. So then they get up there and they go, this is a group that I don't want to be shunned from or tossed out. So they all know it. And they all know what the subjects are. Here's COVID. Yeah. Shutting down schools. For it. Good. Wearing a useless mask. For it. Good. Getting experimental vaccine. Multiple times. Just say yes. Good. Okay. 6-foot distancing. No signs behind. You're for it. Good. Shutting down churches. Good. How about Black Lives Matter rallies? No. We're for those. Those are fine. We can keep going with those. Okay. Whatever the subject, you guys, here's what it is, and this will prevent you from getting kicked out of the club. Now, we're going to have an award show. And you get up there, and whoever praises whatever your policies are the loudest, and by the way, we hate Trump. So you got to say something about him, and then something great about Black Lives Matter, or whatever that thing is. Whoever does that the best is going to stay in the club the longest. So now you have a decision to make. You can do one of three things. You can either go up there and do ICE out, and nobody's illegal, you'll be fine. But you can either do that, or you can go up there and just be neutral, not say anything, but that will make people wonder if you should be in the club. Or you can touch that third rail and say you love ICE and you love Trump, in which case you're 100% out and you're going to get booed off this stage. And then people go, I don't get it. Like, how do they all believe the same thing? Mm-hmm. Like, how did they all end up in the same place with COVID? How do they all know that ivermectin was horse paste? How are they all against, by the way, ICE and Border Patrol, who was doing their thing under Obama like gangbusters? Why are they all in the exact same place mm-hmm. all the time? And the answer is they're not. They don't want to be thrown out of the club, so they get the marching orders. And they want the people to cheer.
Exactly. They don't want to be banned from the cool kids table. They want to be part of this clique. So they all check their beliefs at the door and become parrots with the same garbage talking points. Just never ceases to amaze, does it? The fact that we are so insecure that we have to toe the company line, even though you may not have ever considered these progressive items. They're not part of your everyday life. You don't think about these things. But to be part of the cool kids club, you'll spew the talking points. Well, there was the shooting, two of them actually, up in Minnesota. There was good and there was pretty. The nurse who happened to have a gun, and by all rights, he had a concealed carry permit. He had every right to have his weapon on his hip. And it's a shame that he died. We'll find out more details later. And we'll never know if he planned to target ICE agents with that weapon or not. But he hadn't drawn his weapon when he was shot. Was he murdered by Border Patrol? It's quite possible. But as soon as that shooting happened, it seemed like George Soros bust in more and more agitators and protesters. I mean, the streets of Minneapolis became flooded with all of these protesters. All this does is devolve into a cycle of arrests and chaos that is marketed as a mostly peaceful protest. And there are always fresh episodes of violence. And there was a video that was being spread far and wide on the interwebs on social media that was claiming that federal agents maimed a female protester with so-called less than lethal rounds. This viral post asserted these agents shot this woman and blew off a piece of the woman's hand. She's holding her hands up, screaming that she needs a medic, she needs a medic, and she's got her hand up in the air, and then she collapses into the snow. All of the Trump derangement syndrome, anti-ICE, progressive influencers on social media started posting this video all over the place without the proper narrative. They start saying that ICE shot her. Well, one of the videos that I saw of this woman, I saw her, she was running, had her hand in the air, said that they had thrown a flashbang. She grabbed it and started running with it. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know what a flashbang is, but it gives off a bright white light. It's an explosive device, and it has disorienting properties with the percussion of the detonation of this weapon. I'm not going to call it anything other. And it puts off a blinding light. And this person claimed that ICE had thrown a flashbang to try to disperse the crowd that was starting to gather around them. This woman picked it up and it detonated in her hand, and thus it took some fingers off, and yeah, it did some damage. But the progressives on social media don't want you to get the full story. They just want to foment more unrest and more hatred and more chaos. One of the people that shot the video says, oh my God, they shot her. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And that's all that anybody wanted to show. Factually.co is a fact-checking outlet. They are not a conservative organization. I don't know many fact-checking places that are. But they reviewed this story, and they could not substantiate some of these extreme claims. But think about it. These left-wing activists and their influencers online are eager to attach wildly exaggerated descriptions to videos. Why? The goal is never accuracy, but escalation. This mindset, this behavior among these radical protesters who constantly seem to be shocked when their deliberate defiance of law enforcement officers meets real-world consequences, cause and effect. They cannot believe that anyone would put up a fight, and they appear unwilling to grasp that their actions have said consequences. If you analyze what went on in Minneapolis, it is a textbook example of how the left weaponizes misinformation to inflame tension. They are fomenting chaos, anarchists, all of the above. This is an article by Jennifer Wentworth. It was in BlabberBuzz. Rockland County, New York. It's a suburb. The lawmakers in Rockland County shelved a controversial bid to become a sanctuary jurisdiction. It's a New York suburb. There was a wave of public outrage, and there were warnings from law enforcement officials. This proposal would have banned local police from cooperating with federal immigration authorities in detaining individuals in the country illegally. But when they brought this motion forward, hundreds of residents descended on the Rockland County Legislature. They filled the building. There were even more outside. And so the legislators said, hey, wait a minute. We need to revisit this measure after another public hearing. Maybe we don't want to become a sanctuary county. Now, Democratic legislators lamented that Rockland County's diverse communities have been impacted by ICE. This is one thing that bothers me with this whole narrative. ICE has said that they are going after the criminals, the murderers, the drug dealers, the human traffickers, the pedophiles, the spousal abusers, those that have a conviction. They are not actively looking for other illegal aliens. If they happen to be in the same car, then they're collateral. And they get deported as well. But ICE has claimed from the get-go that they are there to get rid of the criminals, to make the public safe. That's it. Obama did this by the millions. Bush did it by the millions. Clinton did it by millions plus. And it was okay. So the only thing that's different is the absolute hatred of Donald J. Trump. I'm not a fan. I think he is belligerent. I think he is egotistical. I don't think that he is doing half of what he said he was going to do when he was campaigning. Although the alternative was Kamala, who keeps trying to reinvent herself, and she is a whack job. Oh my gosh. But why are they prioritizing shielding these illegal immigrants from law enforcement authorities? The Republican minority warned that this measure would undermine public safety and erode the basic responsibilities of the government. True, they are putting the welfare of somebody here illegally, criminal or not, above the taxpaying citizens. There were multiple law enforcement organizations that lined up against this proposal. They warned that it risked disrupting effective and long-established partnerships between local law enforcement and the federal government. Huh. Everybody says we're a nation of immigrants, and we are. I am grateful that we are a nation of immigrants. I had Pastor Butch Paul on. I told him. I love Italian food. I love German food. I love Mexican food. I love soul food. I guess you can figure out I like food. And I like the different cooking techniques that different ethnicities have brought. I like to eat it all. But we are a nation of laws. Obama said it. We are a nation of laws. Except when Trump wants to enforce them, that's the part that I'm having the biggest problem with. I don't agree with what Trump does most of the time, but he did campaign and win a resounding landslide saying that he was going to round up the illegals that Biden let in without vetting and get them out of the country. That makes perfect sense. Here's something that does not make sense. This was in ZeroHedge.com by Tyler Durden. A Canadian woman in her 80s was euthanized against her will through Canada's Medical Assistance in Dying Program, or they call it MAID, M-A-I-D. Her elderly husband told doctors she had changed her mind despite telling an assessor she wanted to live. So, in the article, they call her Mrs. B. She had coronary artery bypass graft surgery. There were complications. She had a rapid decline, and she opted for palliative care. She was sent home from the hospital, and her husband took care of her. The husband struggled to care for her despite visits by nurses. Her husband called a referral service. Mrs. B. told the assessor she wanted to withdraw her requests, citing personal and religious values and beliefs, and instead wanted inpatient hospice care. Her husband took her to the hospital the next morning. Doctors deemed Mrs. B. to be stable, but that her husband was experiencing caregiver burnout. A request by a doctor for inpatient hospice care was denied, after which her husband asked for a second assessor to weigh in. Here comes the second assessor. They judged that this woman was eligible for MAID, even though the original assessor objected. A third assessor agreed with the second. Mrs. B. was euthanized that evening. They were quick to kill this woman. Mrs. B's spouse was a primary person advocating access to MAID, but there was scant documentation she actually asked for it herself. Recent federal data indicate that more than 16,000 assisted suicide cases are approved annually in Canada. Caregiver burnout. I can understand that. Leslie's mom had dementia, and Leslie's stepdad cared for her mom tremendously, did a great job. And he moved here from Florida. They were about 15 minutes from us. So Leslie got to go over and see her mother every day. And it was weighing heavily on Leslie. So caregiver burnout is a real thing. But the rush to kill off this woman is inhumane. She asked for hospice and was denied. Is that the socialized medicine Canada is pushing? We'll kill them off instead of trying to keep them comfortable and take care of them? That's what it seems to be. Well, I want to mosey on over to New York City. New York City happened to elect a Democrat socialist mayor. His name is Zoran Mamdani. And he has revealed plans to increase taxes on the richest New Yorkers. That should make Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez very happy because she says tax the rich, right? He is less than 1 month into his term, and he's already saying we have to increase taxes on the wealthy. At a press conference, he detailed the Adams budget crisis, claiming that the former mayor misled and misinformed New Yorkers about the true state of the city's finances. Well, I seem to recall how bad they were under de Blasio. I can't imagine that they got that much worse under Adams. But Mamdani has to say something because he promised all these free things. Mom Donnie in this press conference said, quote, I will be blunt. New York City is facing a serious fiscal crisis. There is a massive fiscal deficit in our city's budget to the tune of at least $12 billion. We did not arrive at this place by accident. This crisis has a name and a chief architect. This is the Adams budget crisis. Knowing his time in office was likely coming to an end, Mayor Adams chose political self-preservation over fiscal responsibility. This is not just bad governance, it's negligence. The Adams administration dramatically and intentionally understated the problem. Mom Donnie vowed that he was going to balance the budget over two fiscal years by implementing bold solutions, including recalibrating the broken fiscal relationship between the city and the state. He said, working people did not cause this crisis, and they cannot be made the victims of its solution. The time has come to tax the richest New Yorkers and most profitable corporations. He also claims that the increase will not be significant enough to drive wealthy individuals to leave the state. Well, I seem to recall during de Blasio days that many New York City residents, the ones that could afford to, moved out of New York City, moved down to Florida where they don't have an income tax, where they're not overtaxed, overburdened. Ocasio-Cortez's mom was one of them. But they want to tax the rich. Now, Adams fired back in several posts on X Twitter. He wrote, quote, facts have a way of getting in the way when slogans replace math and blame replaces leadership. I didn't leave a budget hole. I left over $8 billion in reserves. Only someone who can't read a balance sheet would call that a crisis. And here's the part socialists hate to say out loud. Free is a lie. Every so-called free program comes with a price tag, and someone always pays for it. Close quote. Adams claims that Mamdani's real motive behind this press conference was to find a way to pay for the laundry list of free giveaways he promised New Yorkers to buy votes. Votes have consequences. Elections have consequences. You should vote wisely. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I know Spanberger was elected governor of Virginia. I've got some things about Virginia I'll get to in a second half. Claims she was a moderate. Oh, no, she is a flaming libtard. And they are looking to tax because they want to have all these social programs. Cause and effect. It always comes down to that, doesn't it? Cause and effect. Let's see, I'm going to protest against ICE. I'm going to set up blockades. I'm going to attack ICE officers, and I don't expect anything to happen to me. I should be left alone to mostly peacefully protest. Why am I arrested? Why am I being taxed because I make X number of dollars, and I already pay X number of dollars in state, city, and income tax? But now you want more money from me. Why don't I just move to a better state that doesn't have all these taxes and I can maintain more of my wealth? Cause and effect. These things, it seems so basic to anybody with common sense. But politicians don't run on common sense programs. They want to give away the moon to get your vote. And then when it comes time to pay the man, now I have to figure out where I'm going to get this money from. Nothing's free. When will people learn nothing is ever free? Well, that's going to take care of the first half of this program. I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of your time. We're going to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. We are covering Secrets today, Secrets volume number 352. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We have a brand new book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled One Nation Under Blackmail. Actually, it is a 2-volume set. Following World War II, every U.S. administration has aligned itself with the drug traffickers, arms dealers, branches of the mob, known enemies of the state, assassins, and involved itself with murder, smuggling, human trafficking, the sex trade, Ponzi schemes, money laundering, bank fraud, and many other illegal activities. Exhaustively researched, Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail is a damning indictment of the consequences resulting from the nearly century-old relationship between both U.S. and Israeli intelligence, along with the organized crime network known as the National Crime Syndicate. This book explores how that nexus between intelligence and organized crime directly developed the sexual blackmail tactics and networks that would later enable the sexual blackmail operation and other crimes of pedophile and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Discover a comprehensive history of the interconnectivity between sections of the government, the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, and organized crime and sexual blackmail. While other books on Jeffrey Epstein focus on the depraved nature of his crimes, his wealth, and his most famous politically connected friends and acquaintances, this book reveals the extent to which Epstein's activities were state-sponsored through an exploration of his intelligence connections. One reader posted a review. They said, quote, "To learn that corporations like American Express, Bank of America, Pennzoil, The Limited, Victoria's Secret, TWA, and more are all involved. And the banks, every single one you can think of is involved in these illegal activities. The CIA, the FBI, governors, district attorneys, senators, congressmen, cabinet members, complete industries such as liquor, shipping, trucking, publishing, machinery, metal, and more. This is a 2-volume set. We're only asking $45. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $51 for One Nation Under Blackmail. You can order your copy today by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. I will tell you, this is an outstanding 2-book set written by Whitney Webb. You need to get your copy today. I was flabbergasted when I read it. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're covering Secrets, volume number 352, my favorite program of the month. Well, it's one of them. I like visiting with Pat McShay, kind of turned into a monthly program with Pat because he's got some very good insights and things, but I told you we were going to get to Virginia. I want to cover this. This was in Western Journal, written by Audrey Streb. Virginia Democrats are advancing legislation to grant an environmental department permission to use drones without a warrant for implementation and enforcement of green regulations. That's right. They want to make it legal for the government of Virginia to fly a drone over your property to make sure that you are within their green regulations. Think about that. They want to spy on your abode. You thought you owned it. No. This amendment will allow the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality to control these drones in order to enforce programs spanning from water and wetlands protection to erosion and sediment control. That's what they say. But if you've got rainwater collection, well, they may not like that. And they may demand that you get rid of that system or pay tax on the water you collected. You never know with these demon rats. You just don't know. Alfonso Lopez introduced this amendment. And since Spanberger took over as governor and the demon rats have taken over control of the Congress in the Commonwealth of Virginia, these demon rat lawmakers have advanced a slate of bills that align with their left-wing policies. They go from embedding transgender and queer history across children's curricula to expanding parole for convicts. The demon rats are in charge, and the poor people of Virginia are stuck with it because the majority of the population in the big cities are demon rats. The little guy doesn't have a vote that counts. I got a buddy, Sledge, lives in Virginia. Sledge, Texas is, we got property out here, brother. I love Virginia. It's a beautiful state. But these politicians, with their lust for power, are destroying every reason to be there. Goodness. Well, this was in Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, once again. He writes that the push into electric vehicles was sold by the left as the move that would future-proof America's and Europe's legacy automakers and save the planet. The Green New Deal was going to save everybody. We were going to have electric vehicles for everyone. But reality has a strange way of slapping these ideals upside the head, doesn't it? These EVs are now looking like one of the costliest strategic blunders in modern automotive history. U.S. and European brands, including Ford, GM, Stellantis, Mercedes, and Volkswagen, have collectively burned through nearly $114 billion in electric vehicle ventures from 2022 to late 2025. It is estimated that in the third quarter of 2025, these automakers lost roughly $83.6 billion on their EV programs. Startups like Lucid and Rivian accounted for $30.2 billion in red ink. Now, EV sales spiked in the third quarter of 2025 because the federal tax credit was going to expire on September 30th. It was a $7,500 tax credit. So people rushed in to buy them. When it ended, fourth quarter sales dropped 46% from third quarter. Volkswagen has canceled multiple EV projects. Mercedes has paused or scrapped several U.S.-bound models, and others quietly extended the life of internal combustion and hybrid platforms while lobbying for regulatory relief. Engineers said we were not set up to handle the amount of energy needed to charge all the batteries on these EVs. Now, General Motors has stated they are ending production of their Chevrolet Bolt EV after right around 18 months. The plant in Fairfax, Kansas is now going to build the Buick Envision. They're moving that manufacturing from China because of the tariffs. So they're going to move the Envision to Kansas. A Chevrolet spokesperson noted that the Bolt is expected to represent the bulk of Chevrolet's EV volume in 2026. They will also have the Equinox EV, but the Bolt suffered tremendous losses when the EV tax credit, the subsidy, ended. General Motors is also going to move the Equinox plant from Mexico to Kansas because of the tariffs. So they're bringing jobs back to America, which is why the tariffs were put in place in the first place, to stimulate America's economy, to get Americans better paying jobs. But we're going back to internal combustion engines. Now, hybrids are cool too, but I'm, as a car guy, it's hard to beat an internal combustion engine. Now, I've been in Mexico where the old LTDs and the Crown Vics from the 70s were sent, and they're blowing so much smog, it's hard to breathe. Yeah, been there, done that. I've seen it firsthand. But we don't have the infrastructure to support an EV or two in every household. There was no way that was going to work. Sorry, Gavin Newsom. You and your demon rats there in Sacramento were sorely mistaken by demanding that EV sales replace all internal combustion engines by 2030. And you claim that these EVs are net zero in pollution. But nobody talks about the fact that oil's needed to make the batteries, to make the tires. These are petroleum products. The destruction of the earth for these rare earth minerals to make batteries, that don't last all that long. Sorry, Charlie. It just didn't compute to this old car guy. Came across this in Blabberbuzz, written by Victor Smirnoff. There was a fatal shooting of two Seattle high school students, and it has reignited demands for the return of police officers to public school campuses. These students were from Rainier Beach High School. Both were shot multiple times in a double homicide outside of the campus. The police have made no arrests and have not disclosed whether the attack was gang-related or not. But there is a broader surge in youth violence citywide after the Seattle School Board voted 5-2 against restoring police at Garfield High School. In spite of a year marked by shootings, weapons incidents, and mounting litigation over safety failures. Now, Seattle Public Schools got rid of their school engagement officer program in the wake of the George Floyd riots in 2020. They claimed that uniform police presence contributed to racial disparities in discipline. If you do the crime, you got to do the time. These officers are there to protect the welfare of the students. Much better than unarmed incident moderators, whatever they want to call them. At Garfield High School, a 17-year-old was killed in June of 2024 while attempting to break up a fight outside the school. On that same day, a student allegedly fired an airsoft gun at a teacher, and another fled campus after refusing a backpack search for a suspected weapon. Parents point to these incidents as evidence that unarmed staff and paper policies are no match for real-world violence. There was a 17-year-old girl shot at a Garfield bus stop. A student was shot inside Ingram High School in 2023. In 2021, Ingram students were threatened with an AR-15, while during the scamdemic, a violent homeless encampment was allowed to operate on the grounds of Broadview Thompson kindergarten through eighth grade. But the school board has repeatedly refused to reinstate these police officers. They are opting instead to use unarmed security guards and safety specialists trained in de-escalation tactics. The inmates are running the asylum. I had this discussion with some friends the other night. When they took discipline out of the school, when they took it out of the hands of the teacher, respect for the teacher disintegrated. Administration, and I know this only from firsthand with what Leslie had to deal with when she was teaching. Administration would take one of her students, this is elementary, remind you. This isn't even a high school student. They would take an elementary student and put them in their office for 30 minutes and then send them back to her classroom. What did that do? Nothing. There were no consequences. There was no discipline. Now, I was a good student, and I was pretty good kid. I was all boy. But I misbehaved in second grade, and my teacher drew a chalk circle in the hallway, not in the classroom, in the hallway, and made me stand there, it seemed like hours, I don't know how long it was, with my nose in that circle. And if I said anything or if I moved, my time was extended. And when I had stood there long enough, the teacher came and got me and allowed me back in the classroom. And you know what? I didn't act up in that classroom ever again. Mrs. Coopwood was my favorite elementary school teacher. Love her to pieces. She was a great teacher. She was a great teacher because she didn't put up with the garbage. And I misbehaved and I got punished. And then Coach Chavita in middle school, junior high, told me and some friends of mine that we needed to stop misbehaving what we were doing outside of the athletic office. Coach Chavita went back in his office and we continued. And he came back out and he got all three of us and marched us into his office where we each got spanked with the paddle. And if you were in athletics and your coach had a paddle, you know what I'm talking about. Grab your ankles and pow. You know what? We didn't misbehave the rest of the year. That was it. But when they took discipline out of the classroom, they handcuffed the teachers. And now the parents won't allow this to come back. And the parents are doing a terrible job disciplining their own children. Not all. Not all. I have seen so many really well-behaved children, especially out here. But you continually read about these uprisings in schools, and you, from my seat, from my perspective, my heart goes out to the teachers because they can't do anything about it, and administration won't back them up. Because they're afraid of lawsuits from these litigious parents. So we're raising a generation of monsters. They're indoctrinated to think just like the progressives that have taken over teaching with no discipline. I came across this article written by Michael Chamberlain. He's the director of Protect the Public's Trust. It was published in Western Journal. And he writes that the tides have turned. He said the International Olympic Committee may establish official policy that bars biological males from competing in women's sports ahead of the 2026 Winter Games in Milan, Italy. This is a hopeful sign that society is ready to ditch this dangerous practice. In 2025, Trump issued an executive order banning men from women's sports. This prompted the U.S. Olympic Committee to do the same thing in its competitions. Other major countries' Olympic bodies have already ruled against allowing biological males into female competition. Unfortunately, for us as a society, there is one group that is unwilling to give up this ideology, and it is the group that Americans entrust their children to for 8 hours a day. That's right. U.S. educators have demonstrated they are willing to violate state law, Title IX, and risk losing federal funding to give biological males access to female-specific facilities and sports competitions. Several undercover videos published by Accuracy in Media, AIM, in 2025 revealed that administrators in Ohio school districts were using deception to get around that state's law prohibiting boys from participating on sports teams and using facilities designated for young women and girls. One staff member at an Ohio school told the investigator posing as parents that the school would look the other way if the biological male enrolled in school sports as a female athlete. An employee at another district told undercover investigators the school staff would let it slide if students misrepresented their biological sex to get on the female sports team. School leaders in two other Ohio districts were exposed by undercover videos last year, saying they had no problem hiding the true identity of male students who want to access girls' spaces at school. This shows how pervasive this ideology is in our U.S. education. Other school districts have likewise demonstrated how far they will go to keep these initiatives alive. It's against the law, but they don't care. And if your students attend a school in a rural area, don't take it for granted that these progressives aren't in your school. Mr. Chamberlain found out that it may be fewer participants in urban districts, but not by much. We are entrusting these educators with our children, and they are all following the same groupthink, regardless of the opinion in their community. And when their beliefs clash with law and common sense, their reflex is to hide what they're doing instead of reevaluating and correcting themselves. Until we can get rid of the politicians and the educators that are pushing this garbage, this fake science, we're going to have the same problems over and over again. Let's go back to Virginia. This was on WJLA 7 News in Virginia. On January 13th, a Loudoun County public school employee struck and killed a student driving a district maintenance vehicle. Just hours later, the Loudoun County School Board held a closed-door training session that focused on the school board's safety. They are under the leadership of a new chair. Her name is April Chandler. This was a closed-door meeting for school board members and staff only. The meeting was responding to terrorist activity at school board meetings. According to sources that contacted 7 News, these people were in the room during this training session. The terrorism training involved dozens of actors brought in by the school board to act as Loudoun County parents. These pretend parents sat in the gallery in the school board meeting room as actual families normally would. In this training, one of the parents has a gun. The actors were screaming and yelling and running around the room. School board members and staff were instructed to run, hide, and fight, much as the same training that's provided to students in the event of an active shooter event. Ms. Chandler referred to parents as disruptors and agitators, as she recalled school board meetings last year, which many parents attended, to speak up in support of 3 boys who were being investigated about a case centered around policy allowing students to use the bathroom and locker room that matches their chosen gender identity. There was a girl in the boys' locker room taking pictures of the boys, and they complained, and these boys were suspended. A court overturned the suspension, but they were uncomfortable with this girl being in the boys' locker room. And the parents were upset about it, as they have every right to be. A girl in a boy's locker room, a boy in a girl's locker room, nothing good can come of it. One Loudoun County parent, Scott Smith, was arrested and removed from a school board meeting in 2021. His daughter had been raped in a bathroom by a transgender, a dude in a skirt, raped this guy's daughter. And he was upset. And he wanted to be heard, and he wanted his voice to be respected. But there was never any violence from these parents. According to Ms. Chandler, these parents, they're agitators. They're terrorists. Goodness gracious. It's idiocy like this that just, I don't get it. Listen to the parents. Put the children's safety first. Girls don't need to be in boys' locker room, and boys definitely don't need to be in girls' locker rooms. Well, I want to finish with this. It's an article in Blabber Buzz, written by Alan Hume. Katie Wilson, the mayor of Seattle. Leslie and I and my brothers and their wives, we went up to Seattle. We took the Alaskan cruise out of Seattle. So we toured Seattle for a couple days. Oh, boy. We went to dinner one night. You know, we walked everywhere. We were downtown. So we walked to dinner. We were on our way back, and there was a homeless guy passed out from some kind of drug use, passed out. Another homeless dude was trying to steal this guy's shoes. And Leslie was freaking out and wanted to do something. What are you going to do? If you say anything or do anything, this crazy homeless guy that's drugged up himself could assault us and then run off, and the cops aren't going to do anything. The homeless problem in Seattle is not good at all, and the open-air drug use is as bad as any you can imagine. But the World Cup are bringing soccer matches to Seattle. The mayor, Katie Wilson, claims that every homeless person in the city will be in a shelter before these matches kick off in June. Ms. Wilson is a self-described socialist. She said the tournament is a forcing mechanism for long-delayed action on a crisis that has only worsened despite massive public spending. They have poured more than $1 billion into homeless programs over the past 10 years. This has produced scant improvement. She is planning to create 50 new shelter units before June 15th. This is in stark contrast to the city's record, as Seattle has managed to only add 13 new shelter units over the past 4 years. Lumen Field, where they're going to play these matches, is within walking distance of downtown streets, long dominated by open-air drug use and sprawling homeless encampments. Democrats in Washington State are pressing Wilson to avoid encampment sweeps. They want to prioritize ideological instead of enforcement at the behest of residents and visiting fans. The Seattle homeless population is nearing 17,000. It was labeled a crisis back in 2015. You know, there was a line in the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you have free drugs, they will come. Look at what they did in L.A. Yes, L.A. started handing out drug paraphernalia, and the homeless started showing up in droves, and then they had a problem. Seattle, marijuana is legal. There's dispensaries all over the place. I walked by two on my way from dinner to the hotel. It was near one of those dispensaries where the homeless dude was stealing the Nikes off of the other passed-out homeless dude. Throwing good money after bad is not going to solve the problem. Round them up, give them three hots and a cot in the Steel Bar Hilton. Dry them out. Get them mental health advisors. Get them off the drugs. Help them with their mental health issues and see if they can become productive citizens. But moving all these homeless into a little RV camp isn't going to solve the problem. You're putting a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches. And I don't know when the politicians are going to realize this. Well, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.